Welcome to Cashflow Positive. I'm your host, Kenny Bedwell, founder of SCR Insights, one of the leading data platforms in the industry. Through using data and analytics, I've been able to replace my W-2 with cash flow from my successful short-term rentals. And my goal is to help you achieve the same freedom and success. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just a novice looking to make your mark, Cashflow Positive is your go-to resource for unlocking the full potential of your property portfolio.
Welcome back to another episode of Cashflow Positive. I'm going to be talking with you today about how to determine the ROI from design or designing to core. Now, a lot of us already have properties and we're looking to improve them, or if we're looking to acquire new properties, how much should I budget for improved design? Because we've definitely seen an elevation in design across the entire industry. Some of us are, like I mentioned, looking to do refreshes, while the majority are looking to even just get started and know what a typical budget is. So I'm going to help you determine what that budget should look like based on four key things. And at the very end, I'm going to share with you my rough rules of thumb for creating a design budget. I do not love designers dictating what your budget should be. Okay. So like, for example, if you go to a designer and you're like, well, whatever it takes to get whatever I need, it's probably going to be double what you should probably pay. And we're going to talk about the shotgun versus rifle methodology that I use. And we're going to talk about my secret formulas at the end for how much you should really pay for your design and decor budget. So let's dive into it. And we're going to start with the four key things that help me determine the ROI for design and decor. All right. Number one, the most important one, whether you're doing a refresh or you're looking at a property to acquire in a market, the first question I always ask is, how important is the design and decor in your market? All right. Now, a lot of people assume, because they hear it from designers, let's be honest, that design and decor is very, very important everywhere. That's not necessarily true. Now, what I mean by that, before everyone goes up or all the designers listening go up and get offended and stop listening or tell their friends, stop listening to Kenny, the reality is, and they will agree to this, that there's a levels of degree of design for different markets, meaning that certain markets that look like maybe grandma's house, where all the properties in that market, that's what I'm kind of talking about here. All the properties in the market look like grandma's house. They have, you know, they're out of date. They all have, you know, the pattern furniture and all this other stuff, like more like very old traditional markets. I see this a lot in the Northeast, some parts of the Southeast, just older markets, more drive-in markets, those types of places. You don't need to have a high level of design and decor and like high level furnishings. You really don't. Now, if you do that, does that help? Absolutely. I mean, if you add high level design decor, you're obviously going to stand out and you're obviously going to be top of the market. But do you need to have those things to be top of the market? Is that why people are coming to that market, is to stay at a nice place that has a high level of design and decor? Or is it more like people, it's a complement to why people are going to that market? So what I mean by that, let's take a look at some examples. If I go to a market, especially like a national park market, all right, think of national park markets that are maybe less popular. Sleeping Bear Dunes, Michigan. Badlands National Park, South Dakota. New River Gorge, West Virginia. Okay, some of you are like, where? Obviously, the state names give it away. But like, these are national parks that are emerging and growing every single year in the number of traffic. You can go to the national park website. You can see that it's free data. You can check out the trends and you can see them growing over time. Some of them are a little bit newer than others. New River Gorge is brand new, or brand new-ish, like I think like last decade or something. But anyway, these are growing in popularity and traffic. However, as a vacation rental market, all the properties are looking like grandma's house. Okay, not every single one, but most of them do. And they do fine. They actually do very, very well. So what that tells me is that a lot of these people are coming to the market not to like experience the stay at the property, but to experience the national park, right? They're there for the national park. Your house is a complement of that experience, meaning it's like the side thing. It's not the reason why they're going there. Okay. So what ends up happening is that a lot of people think like, oh, I just need to spend through the roof because that's why people are coming to this market. And the reality is it's not really the case. You know, they're coming for the national park. Yes, they want somewhere nice to stay, which means that maybe it's a tasteful design and decor, but meaning your budget isn't over the top. Think Orlando. I mean, if you haven't, you're not familiar with the Orlando market, the Orlando STR market, go look at the, just type in Kiss Me Florida. Look at the crazy theming and the arcades and the bowling alleys and all this kind of stuff. Like, it is on a different level, right? And a lot of us know that already. And so something like that, investing in that kind of level, like $200,000, $300,000 of that level and putting that into one of these markets, sure, your property's going to stand out and it will be top dog in the market. But what's the true ROI on that? Okay, can you be top dog without having to invest $200,000, $300,000, $400,000 into a property in terms of just design and decor? Absolutely. In most markets, you can, probably with half the budget. So, or even maybe a third of that budget. So when we're looking to determine the ROI of design and decor, we first need to understand what's the competition level for design and decor in my particular market. Is it, frankly, really that important, like priority? Remember the four market revenue drivers. I've talked about this several times. Hopefully I've beaten and drilled in this into your brain. If you're new to the podcast, let me drill it in right now. There are four key market revenue drivers and they vary per market. So the first one, and usually the most important one, is location, right? Okay, so where your property is can impact how much money you make. Number two, quality of the property. And this is a little bit broad. It means, is it updated? Is it modern? Is it a cabin? Is the exterior? What does that look like? Is it, you know, secluded? Are the bathrooms brand new? You know, is there heavy theming? And then the third one is design and decor. So design and decor might include the theming, but murals and furnishing levels. Is it just Wayfair or IKEA furniture? Is it high level in stuff? Murals, you know, I think I mentioned murals already, but murals in the bathrooms or, you know, just crazy types of design going on these properties. And then finally, number four, amenities. How do amenities, which amenities drive revenue in the market? So the revenue drivers impact, obviously, like how well a property does. And in certain markets, there's a prioritization in terms of meaning, like if you're a certain neighborhood, you're going to naturally do well because you're closer to the downtown or you're closer to the theme park or you're closer to the entrance of the national park or whatever it may be. But in other markets, it might be, well, if you have a cabin, you're going to do better than non-cabins, or if it's an A-frame, or if it's a two-bedroom, or in some markets, especially urban markets, design and decor is actually the highest priority, meaning you got to be luxury or feel luxury, and location isn't as important as maybe some other places, okay? But remember, it's all about prioritization. So understand where design and decor will fall in your market. Most markets, design and decor usually falls about number three, sometimes even four, right? Like, for example, in my market, Watkins Glen, location being in Watkins Glen, okay, or being lakefront or non-lakefront. Number two, amenities. Amenities are big. Number three, design and decor. And then number four, finally, quality. Quality is actually very like low in my market. It's not important. Then you have design and decor, then you have amenities, then you have location. Okay, well, if you already have a property, you can't change location. Okay, now you just go down the line. So I know that, hey, look, my amenities are really, really important. So I've just been value stacking amenities and not so much focused on my design and decor, to a point where it's, you know, compared to some of these other markets, my property's a little bit of embarrassment. I'm gonna be straight up honest on here, okay? It's just not, I did not get it professionally designed because I don't need to. There's very little ROI in getting it professionally designed in my market because I know that my dollars, the power of my dollars, the ROI of my dollars is better spent on amenities, okay? So understand that, and now you're in the right places. You have your right mindset for determining what true ROI is for design decor. Now, once again, I always, 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 especially if you've got a new property, get it professionally designed, but be smart about it. And that's what these steps are here to help you with. Let's jump to number two. So number two are there good properties or top properties in your market with good design doing better than properties with poor design. Usually, it's usually the case. But we need to, that's not just like a yes or no, even though it's like, are there? It's like, yes, there are. Okay, great. Well, the follow-up to this, well, how much, right? So that's what you really need to see. I went to Columbus, Ohio, and I looked at an example there. It was really, really fascinating. So I went, I took the same neighborhood, so I controlled for location. And I took a property that had amazing design decor, looked very, very like luxury. And then I took a property that was like legit Harry Potter themed. I should have pulled it up. I share my screen with you. And like, it's pretty crazy looking. In the exact same neighborhood, they went heavy on amenities and theming. And this other property went heavy on design. Okay. This is in Columbus, Ohio, right? Urban market. If you were paying attention earlier, I kind of gave away what I'm about to say here. But the reality is the property, same bedroom count, same neighborhood, the property that was more luxury looking with a better design was making $40,000 more than the property that was heavily Harry Potter themed, which is kind of weird for Columbus, Ohio, right? Right? Like you're sitting there like, okay, that's really, really strange. And it's like, cool, who's going there? Kids' birthday parties, right? It's not people traveling there to go to Universal or, you know, experience like a Harry Potter. Like, no, people aren't doing that. They're going to Columbus, Ohio for football games, for conferences, for events, whatever it is. And they want to stay somewhere nice and clean. And that's where design really elevates. So in that market, we'll go location. You could argue quality, but not really. Honestly, it's more of design and decor than quality, than amenities. So, and that's really unique market to market. So understanding that and then looking at those properties, they're the top properties. And what I like to do is download the data set, look at all the top properties, and then compare it to all the other properties and get a rough average of how much more are they making. And is it because of design and decor? Okay. If it is, then I know that I'm in a heavy design decor market and I need to elevate. I need to increase my budget and my spend. If it's not, then I'm looking at those top properties and identifying, okay, well, what makes them the top properties? Okay. So let's keep going through this. So I think number three is really important. And I see this mistake with a lot of designers. Now, designers are getting better and they're getting smarter, meaning they're starting to use more data. Okay. Now, I just said they're getting smarter because they're using more data, but that's really true. Like if you're not using data, then frankly, you're not being smart about it. Okay. Because you're guessing, you're making assumptions based purely on gut. And if you don't have that experience, then you're just making assumptions. You're guessing, right? That's risky. So we use data to get it, research and knowledge to have confidence in what we're about to do. So third one, shotgun design versus targeted or rifle. Okay. So for those of you who don't know, a shotgun, boom, spray and pray is what I call it, right? It does a shot shell, which sprays a bunch of little pellets out, right? We've all heard that, you know, shotgun something, meaning, well, not like alcohol, but like doing something where you're just spraying and praying is what I call it, right? Versus a rifle, which is more targeted, okay? So when we do design, a lot of designers who aren't using data go for the shotgun approach, meaning like we need to put the wall murals everywhere and even in the bathrooms and in every single bedroom and do all this, you know, and like have the luxury furniture everywhere. And the reality is that might not be necessary. And usually it isn't necessary, right? We want to be very targeted. And usually what I tell a lot of my clients who are working with designers, and I'm like, pick a few rooms. If you got a 4 or 5 bedroom, pick 1 or 2 bedrooms and pimp them out, like the master suite and some of these other ones, because the reality is, and I've said this before, the average guest looks at about 13 images before actually booking. So they're not looking at 60, they're looking at 13. So they're not going to look at all the other bedrooms, and maybe they will, but they're going to pass through them, but they need the eye catchers, the scroll stoppers. And that's where you heavily invest, whether that's the amenities, but we're focusing on design and decor here. So I'm putting murals in the master bedrooms and in the primary bedrooms where the booker is going to stay. I'm not putting a lot of murals in where the kids are staying. I'm doing nice bunk beds, but I'm not doing like luxury and stuff, right? Because that changes. So be wise, be smart, and be strategic. Be that rifle, be that sniper, okay? Target your guest avatar and target what would catch their eye and stand out to them. And that will help you on the ROI from that design budget. you can literally save $25,000 to $50,000, depending on the size of the property. Okay, if it's a small one, obviously that's a different range. If it's a bigger one, 4, 5, 6, 7 bedroom, $25,000, $50,000 by not shotgunning it. Shotgunning it is expensive and kills your ROI. There is diminishing returns for every dollar you spend in design. Okay. Like, think about it. Like, there's a graph going up. So every dollar I put in my design and decor makes me more revenue. Okay. But at a certain point, every dollar, it starts to peak off. Okay. And it'll flatten out, or it'll actually go down for every dollar you put in. So as you do that, think about that the line starts to level off and your spending power becomes less effective. And we want to find that crux where it starts to peak. And that's where we're done spending. So now, there's not a particular specific scientific way of doing it, but it's really about being close to it, right? And recognizing based on your market and your competition and the top properties in the market. Okay, so we understand the shotgun approach versus sniper, you know, be strategic, target your guest avatar. And then finally, number four, and this is one of my favorite ones, ROI can only be calculated based on available data, all right? Spoiler alert, if there's no data, you're not going to be able to determine a true ROI from design and decor. You're going to have to look at the market revenue drivers. You're going to have to look at your competitors. You're going to have to see what the level of design and decor currently is to know how much you're willing to invest. But I don't want to leave you on a disappointing note here. I want to give you my rough rules of thumb for spending depending on your market. Okay. So these are rough estimates. I've talked to a lot of designers. You know, you'll get different thought processes. And obviously, I think this goes without saying, but I need to say it. It depends on the property. Okay. It obviously depends on the market, which we've been talking about, but the property and what it currently looks like and in the market it depends on your budget. So let's dive into my basic rules of thumb for creating a design budget that makes sense. So assuming now these are all based on your market. There's three different tiers. All right. There's very competitive markets. There's medium markets, like meaning like there's some competition. There's some high level design and decor in the market. Maybe it's emerging. A sizable chunk of markets will fall into here. Okay. But frankly, most markets are now competitive, believe it or not. All right. Meaning like even the Asheville, North Carolinas, even some of the Kentuckys, the Bourbon Trails, I've seen a lot of people investing into design and decor. Okay. If you see more than in your market, remember market's a region, not just like the individual cute borders inside of STR Insights or other data platforms. If you go in Airbnb and you type in your market and you see more than 10 properties with high level design and decor, you're in a competitive market based on these standards I'm about to give you. Okay. Now, if it's less than that, probably like 5 to 10 or something around there, medium competition. If nobody has high level design and decor, you're in a grant, what I call a grandma's house market or low end. So there's high, medium, low. All right. So here's a rough rule of thumb. I don't do it based on square footage. I do it based on bedroom count. So on average, in a very competitive market, you should budget about $20,000 to $25,000 per bedroom. So if I have a 5-bedroom property, I'm really looking at about $100,000 to $125,000 minimum to spend on design and decor. Okay. That's a lot of money. All right. But that's to compete at that top level, be the top dog. Now that's a competitive market, right? If I go back a little bit and I have a 5-bedroom and I'm in a medium market, I should budget about $10,000 to $15,000. So that puts me at what? $50,000 to $75,000, right? So $50,000 to $75,000 for my design budget for a 5-bedroom would be really good design decor in a medium competitive market. You're going to stand out. You're going to be top dog and you're going to have the best ROI possible. Finally, the last one, grandma's closet, I'm going to spend roughly about $10,000, $5,000 to $10,000 per bedroom. So if I got a 5-bedroom property, once again, $25,000 to up to $50,000, in one of these very, you know, non-competitive, nobody has updated design and decor, I'm going to make my property look nice and clean. That's the biggest thing. Make it look clean. Okay. Simple, elegant, make it look clean. You don't need, you know, all this luxe feel and everything. I mean, you can, but that's really not going to maximize your ROI. So high market, $20,000 to $25,000, medium market, $10,000 to $15,000, low market, we'll say $5,000 to $10,000. Okay. So in that range there, think about these things. Now, why am I giving ranges? The reason why is because you can pay someone to do it for you. And it's going to be a little more expensive. Or you can get scrapping, go do it yourself, go to yard sales, maybe nicer yard sales, or, you know, like bargain discount dealers or whatever. I don't know. People get scrappy with it. And I love it. That's great. I used to do that. Do it. If you don't have time for that, then you can pay a little bit more. You got to, you know, time, money. We got to understand that. And that's okay. That's where I'm at too. So understand that these are ranges and this is helpful, but I say per bedroom. Keep in mind, this is going to cover the entire house. So I'm not, you know, this would include the kitchen, the living room, the game room, all that fun stuff you're going to add. It's just a rough rule of thumb. I'm looking at a property. This is what my budget is going to have to be based on my market and the four tips I gave you earlier. So let's conclude here. Design decor, very, very, very important, especially in today's market, but be smart about it, right? So understand there's an ROI, but how do you determine that ROI? Look at the data, look at the competition, and understand where your market falls. And that's how you determine the ROI of design and decor. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Look forward to the next one where I bring on a guest, an actual designer. She's going to tell you her methodology. And frankly, it sounds kind of similar to what I just talked about. So pay attention and stay tuned for that episode.